So I am really, really excited about this interview with Amel Dereghi from The Time Is Now. Amel is passionate about entrepreneurship and social impact. Working with her clients, Amel shares what she's learned on her own entrepreneurial journey and the methodology that she's developed for growing a business that aligns with your needs. Amel will help you get clarity and an action plan and help you position yourself as the go-to expert in your field to grow your business. And I am ultra excited because Amel is also my business coach and an amazing role model who has absolutely helped me pave my way. So thank you so much for being here today, Amel.
My pleasure, Emily. It's so, so beautiful to be able to be here with you in your own summit. And it's been many years ago since we had worked together and I've seen your growth and your journey. And I'm like very, very much blown away by everything you've put together and created over this year. So I'm very honored to be here and can't wait to be here for all of you who are listening as well.
Thank you. Now, Amel, I might have missed something in the introduction. Is there anything that you wanted to add to that?
I think you did a great job. I mean, it's a very good summary. And yeah, I think we can, throughout the discussion, those who want to know more will know more. But I think it's a positioning is a big deal for me, helping people position themselves as the go-to expert. That's really something that I have been passionate about for many years, as well as community building. And yeah, that's how I help my clients make sure that they have a business that is providing them with the growth they need, the alignment, and the freedom, of course. Yeah,
so that's absolutely. And the proof is here. Thank you very much, Amel.
My pleasure.
So the question that we're posing, or that you're posing today, is what do you want to be known for? Now, this is such an important question. And I know when you asked me this question, I really had to dig deep. So let's talk about it. Why is it such a tough question to answer?
Because we're very complex beings, right? How can we summarize in few words the wealth of experience that we have, the wealth of achievements, the complexity of our beings in just a small little pitch, right? And that is why a lot of people, first of all, struggle with doing that, but also the fear of missing out. Yeah. One of the things that I always insist on with my clients when we start with this big question, what do we want to be known on, is the fear of saying, okay, but if I focus on this niche, what if I miss out on other business opportunities?
Yeah.
Right? So I think these are the two reasons why most people struggle with it. And my big motto, I have not come up with it. We still don't know who came up with it, but it's really about understanding that if you try to reach out to everybody, you will reach out to nobody.
Yeah.
And the second thing I would add as well is it's not because you focus on a very small, specific niche and positioning that it doesn't mean that you can make business outside of this niche.
Yeah.
The problem with marketing is that it's very overwhelming, especially if we're a leader, employed or self-employed. We're talking here about entrepreneurship, business, marketing, but also for those who have leadership positions and want to be having a personal brand, right?
Yes.
And it's really difficult to build a personal brand or a business brand if we try to be all over the place.
Yeah.
We don't have enough resources when we're solo entrepreneurs or a leader trying to juggle job, family, and all of that. So it is so important that we define that specific positioning, and then it doesn't mean that other businesses won't happen. For instance, in my case, my marketing is really focused on solo entrepreneurs and small business owners, but it doesn't mean that I don't do other projects.
Yes.
First of all, with men, as a lot of my marketing is focused on women empowerment, but I also work with men and I work with international organizations. But that is like the byproduct,
yes,
of the focus that I have with my marketing. And also, it's not because your niche is very small, which it should be at the beginning, that it won't grow.
Yes.
As you know, Emily, I started focusing on expat spouses who travel every 2 to 3 years. That's really narrow. And because I've managed to build a brand very quickly in that positioning, very quickly, actually, that brand has grown beyond that niche. So the best way to make a dent is to actually focus on that positioning.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when we're talking about what you want to be known for, it's about what's really important to you and what's your why, what's your reason for doing this. What happens if you don't know the answer to that question? What's the consequences of it?
The consequences of not knowing your big why is basically a lot of overwhelm. The reason why a lot of entrepreneurs feel, and even leaders, feels that like wealth of overwhelm is because we don't have clarity. And I have this model that I call the three C's. The way to build a business that is actually providing the results we want, but also the freedom and the flexibility we want, is by having first clarity. And second, consistency, and third, conversion. So these are the three T's that you know very well, Emily. And I think the reason why people struggle is because they don't have the, so the consequence of not knowing your big why is lack of clarity and therefore feeling stuck and cannot get anything done and cannot get things moving is because of that. So if you struggle with that, it's so important to dig deep into it, but also give you time to experiment. You don't have to have all the answers right away. It will come with time, but get started somewhere. Like I always say, start first, perfect later. Start experimenting if you don't have the right answers. And then also get the help you need, like Emily, for instance, who can help you find your big why, right? This is really, really important, because everything depends on that.
So people don't know who they are and they don't have that clarity. And we're asking now, what do you want to be known for? How do they find it?
That's a great question. So we could talk about this for hours, right? So we only have 20 minutes. So I'm gonna try to be very, very concise, but hopefully this will all help you start thinking about it. And I always call it the three P's to finding your zone of genius. So I worked with hundreds of people and I realized there is a pattern to finding your why and finding your zone of genius and therefore your positioning. And it stands on three P's. The first one, the first P stands for power, your superpower. So your superpowers is the collection of skills, experiences, achievements, but also your hobbies, your interests, everything that, even your assets, which I physical assets and also non-physical assets, for instance, your network. If you have a powerful network, that could be a superpower, right? So really make sure to analyze all your superpower, be it professional or not, and your achievements. That's the beginning of knowing who you are, right? Although I don't think that we're only defined by that, but still. And the key question that I love for that one, actually, if I only had to choose one question on top of what are your superpowers, is what can you talk about and learn about endlessly? Watch how you, what fires you up? What could you keep learning about? Because being an expert is actually not knowing at all. Being an expert is wanting to constantly be better at it, right? So what could you keep learning about nonstop? And of course, talk about. And hopefully by now you can start having some ideas when you hear that, right? But if not, then watch, look at your feed, your social media feed, look at the newsletter you're signing up to, look at what you're reading, and that will give you some ideas of what is that thing. So that's the first P. Then the second P is stands for problem. Obviously, whether you're an entrepreneur or a leader, you are paid to solve a problem. And if you're in the creative field, I would say a desire, right? But I believe that even in creative fields, we're solving problems, right? And that is so key that you understand what is the problem that all those superpowers that you have really help you solve. Because if you, that's actually one of the things that I think people struggle the most about. When I ask people what problem you solve, they tend to actually give us the solution. For instance, I help my clients, you know, I help them provide the clarity and the action plan to position themselves as the go-to expert in their field and build a business that provides them with more freedom. So that's my solution. But the actual problem I solve is not that. The problem that I solve is that overwhelm when we lack clarity, when we lack a strategy, and when our marketing strategies don't work and we don't get the results we want. So that's the problem I solve. And you need to be able to dive deep into the pain that your powers solve. This is really important. And the more you know the pain points, the better you'll be actually able to translate it to the people who are your serving, which actually leads me to the third P that now you know is people, right? So if you know which your superpowers, what problem you solve, then you need to figure out who are you solving them for. And that is where your niche stands, not only in the problem you solve, but also for whom. And it is so important to define that because your problem and the powers you have can solve it for many people, but it would be very hard to be effective in positioning yourself as an expert if you don't really start somewhere. For instance, my journey 10 years ago started with expat spouses and it's
Yes.
grown over the year. So think about it for yourself. What is that small community of people that you deeply understand and that they can reach out to easily so that you can start solving that problem for them? Once you have defined all of that, the crossroad of those three circles is your zone of genius, is where your positioning is. And once you have figured it out, then you can work on your messaging, your content, your branding, and all of that. Don't do anything before you have gotten that clear.
And I think, you've really made that so simple for people to think about because it is just three Ps. And if you can get those three Ps clarified for yourself, then you can build the consistency. Then you can build into, as you said, the branding and everything else. But if you don't know it, you've got nowhere to start.
Exactly.
It's really amazing. And in terms of, people listening to this now, they could think about their three Ps. But where would you help suggest they start? What would be the first point that they need to do?
I think the first point is really starting with the first P
Yes.
somehow, understanding what you're really good at, because, and there is a lot of how to say, the biggest challenge with that one is mindset, but also confidence, right? Understanding what we're really good at, we tend, depending on our experiences and our past, we tend to maybe focus on certain skills but forget others. But most of the common thing is to actually not see what we're really good at. And I think it's so important to celebrate that. I've seen so many women, especially when we go through transition, being life transition or geographical transition, I think that is the moment where doubt creeps in and does not let us see what we're really good at. I'm actually going to give you my personal experience. I'm going to be very vulnerable now about this, but I have been myself going through a life transition right now. I guess it's midlife crisis or I don't know what. But life is, the world is changing and I'm questioning my role in it. How can I make a bigger impact? How
Yes.
can I show up better? And of course, I went back to my own models. I use my own models for myself. And I was so blown away when I realized that I had it in front of my eyes, one of these superpowers that I've never ever put out there or publicized or positioned on, which is community building.
Yes.
It's interesting because you had came to me for that. I'm like,
Yes.
how interesting that Emily came to me with that idea of community building. I'm like, wow. I've always done that, no matter, it's been like decades that I've been building communities, leading communities, and leaving them, but they continue
Yes.
existing even if I'm not a part of them anymore, right?
Yes.
And so I think it's so important to really dive into our stories. So what I would recommend is start journaling. And there's another exercise I do, it's like I call it the pivotal moments of your life. Like take a line and start looking at the pivotal moments of your life and your career and look at what are the patterns. What is the one big thing that you felt like make a big difference? And is there any common pattern? And that might be enlightening you in some ways. Because if you can find where it is firing you up and where is that amazing thing that you want to put yourself into this new transition, it would be hard to do all the other things. There are more practical that I could share more longer later. But yeah, that's basically what I think is important.
I'm guessing you find the same thing that I do, though, when I'm working with women. Yes, we want you to find your power, and you've given lots of tools now to think about how you might find that. But I think you touched on it when you started talking about it. We get to a point where you go, oh, yeah, that could be my power, but then we start to second guess ourselves, and our confidence then erodes. Why does that happen?
I think, first of all, there's a historical thing and cultural thing. First of all, as women, it seems like we have it in us. It's a chip that they implanted. I don't know why, for us to always second guess ourselves. I have no
Yes.
idea why. Are women in general second guessing themselves more? Actually, it's not true. I do think that men second guess themselves as much as women because I do work with men as well. The difference is that they do it regardless because they're less worried about the impact of being judged. Just because maybe men have not been judged as much and they're given this slack of messing up if it's not to use the F word, right? So I do think that it's up to us now to kind of create a change in the world by not worrying as much of messing up and the consequences of what people might think, right? And this is one of the things that I'm gonna make it short answer because I know that time is short, but I think that's one topic I'm the most passionate about, and which actually affects another problem, the fear of messing up, is the fear of visibility. And I think that's another big thing about positioning, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or leader, so important to embrace the spotlight. It means that when you mess up, it's more visible. So instead of trying to avoid messing up, be okay with messing up. And actually, I remember saying to one of my clients, telling her, your only goal for the next 3 months is to mess up as much as you can because you need to muscle up that muscle that is okay with you not being perfect.
Because
And
it's
I
so
think that's
hard
so
as
important.
women, because we do expect, and I think, you've touched on it, men tend to have quite a linear line in life. They literally step up to the next role. So, and it's just that they don't think about whether they can or not. They do.
Exactly.
And women have this sort of squiggly mess. We do mess up. We do take side steps. We take time out for health, for children, for other things. And then we end up with a squiggly thing. And so then we're trying to compare a squiggly mess with a linear line, and they don't even look the same.
No. And I don't think that men don't mess up. They also have a messed up line. The only thing is that they're okay with it, which makes them feel and look like they've been constantly growing. Right? Again, I don't like generalizing, but I do think that it's a societal issue. But it's up to us to change our perception of ourselves so that others can change their perception of us. I think this is so key to start from within.
Absolutely. And we're talking here about women in midlife, and we come with decades of experience, with decades of messing up, with decades of confidence erosion, and now we're trying to rebuild and restart and rethink about what do I want to be known for? What is it that's important to me? And if we can't step into that now, then when can we?
Amen. Yeah. And you know, one thing you're saying here reminds me of one thing that I want to really insist on. A lot of the discussion around reinvention and transition and midlife crisis and et cetera is about reinvention. I don't like this word at all, reinvention, because it says we're starting from scratch. And you're never starting from scratch. You're building up onto what you have evolved. And if you look at the pattern of your life and those pivotal moments, you'll see that you've been building up the bricks to where you are now. And for me, it's about replacing the word reinvention by evolution. You're not starting from scratch. You are evolving, and that's painful. It's extremely painful. My friend Sunday Bean, that we both know, uses this metaphor of the crab, right? The crab that grows out of its shell and needs to find a new shell to be able to be that full self we are, right? Because we're growing. So we're not starting, we're just growing, we're evolving. And when we look at it this way, it's beautiful, it's exciting. Yes, it's a little painful and uncomfortable, but if we embrace that discomfort, it becomes an amazing journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. So people are listening to this now and they're thinking, okay, I want to work out what I want to be known for. I need to think about my three P's: power, people, and
Problem.
problem.
Yes, very
Power, problem, people. Sorry, Mel. I was
worries.
listening. But we need to work out our three P's before we can jump into our three C's of the clarity, consistency. And, if we want to do that, and we can start with that power piece, we can start by what lights us up. What would be the one thing you want people to take away from this discussion right now? What's going to be the one thing that they have to know to be able to do that?
If you struggle to figure out the answer, don't wait too long. Start experimenting, but as soon as you feel like you can't move alone, you need to invest in yourself.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
think that's the one thing that I really want to. There's part of experimentation. I think it's important to try to figure out a little bit of it on our own. But if it lasts too long and you've been stuck in that space for too long, and that too long depends on each person, you know what's the right timing for you. I think it's important to then take action and get the help you need. And there's many types of help. First of all, community, connecting with like-minded people, but also reach out to the people who have done it before and to the experts who can help you. And ultimately, if you want to really commit to yourself, it comes with investing in yourself. And I think that is one of the things that also a lot of people take a bit too long. As long as you know that this is what you need, then you need to believe in yourself enough and invest in yourself.
Yeah. And you know, if anyone's listening to this and they're thinking, well, that's okay to, you know, for you to say that, we've all walked this path and we've all found those moments where we've had to invest in ourselves. Nobody is doing this without that, whether
Yeah, I don't
it's
know anybody. Actually, you're very right about this. I don't know a single successful woman that has not invested in herself.
there you go. Yeah. We need to at some point.
And sometimes it starts by simply having a cleaning lady at home.
Yes.
Besides making the whole family do their chores too.
Brilliant. I love that. Thank you, Mabel. Now, if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to connect with you?
Sure, with pleasure. I'd love to connect with you. So, if you want to actually test out where you are right now, I do have a cool quiz
Oh,
that
please,
will help
yes.
you define, which path you're on. So, you go to the timeisnow.biz/quiz, and we'll put the link in below this video as well. And that quiz will tell you which path you are, and depending on your path, I will send you a bunch of emails that will help you reflect with some questions. So that's the first thing. And on my website as well, when you go to the quiz, you'll find my contacts. Don't hesitate. As soon as you sign up, I'll send you an email and you'll have my email. Feel free. That is me behind it. It's not AI. So feel free to email me. I'd love to connect with you. And I also have a podcast show called The Time Is Now. And therefore, the time is now.biz, and you'll be able to also get a lot of inspiration there to help you in your journey.
Thank you, Amel. I love your podcast. I love everything that you're putting out there and cherish having you as part of my life. Thank you so much for being a part of the
Thank
summit.
you. Oh,
So
thank you. It's such
exciting.
an honor, and I'm so happy for you. It's lovely to watch you thrive and do what you do and making so much impact. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of it.
Thank you.